Think of a valley in California known for innovation and communication. Silicon Valley is likely to come to mind. But there's another far more remote place you might not be as familiar with. Boonville, population 1,035. It's located a few hours north of San Francisco in the Anderson Valley. And about a dozen people in this tiny town speak a homegrown language called Boontling.
Nook was strong, and the ball bell jeemer had neemer. Now it's the yielding pike to the chugle nook for gorms for the ball bell jeemer. The nook was empty, and the gorms were strung, and the ball bell jeemer had neemer.
For those of you who don't speak Boonling, that was Old Mother Hubbard.
Mother Hubbard went to her cupboard for food for her poor dog.
People started speaking Boonling in the late 1800s. It was a more demure time, so locals needed code words to talk about subjects unfit for many ears. Now, only a few people speak it at all. KALW's Liz Pfeffer and Christina Loring took the dusty road to Boonville to track down those remaining linguists.
When we enter Boonville's Central Drag, we're not surprised to find the usual tourist fare.
It's Main Street USA, with souvenir shops, B&Bs, and cafes. Real Norman Rockwell. And then there's the Redwood Drive-In.
The name doesn't really do it justice. It's a gas station slash greasy spoon that's been here forever.
Yeah, it's mostly local hangout.
Boonville's oldest residents convene at the drive-in every day at 4 o'clock.
See that deacon that came out there? I heart Bilgit. That out there. See him sitting out there.
And right smack in the middle is Wes Smoot. He's the unofficial king of Boonville.
I heart Bilgit on that.
That's him speaking Bootling fluently, which is rare these days.
The drive-in is like being in a time capsule. It feels like the 1950s inside. Smoot and his crew have been coming here for decades.
It was really fun when you had four or five like this in here, you know. And it's hard to keep it alive, though, because we get to using it and nobody knows what we're talking about.
Outside the walls of the drive-in, everything has changed. There's only a few people around who can still speak Boonling, and Smoot's trying to keep it going the best he can.
Today, there's only really one other person Smoot can speak Boonling with, Donald Pardini.
We didn't know anything about Boonling when we came to town, but we learned a lot from listening to them chat.
Fairly young fella, ball little name he had.
If you didn't catch that, ball means good.
He told me he was interested in Boonling. He wanted to know about it, you know. And he knew as much about it as I did. Every time I'd tell him a word, he'd tell me what it meant.
Who was he?
He was from Frisk. A bright lighter. He was a bright lighter.
A bright lighter is someone from outside Boonville. That's how Christina and I were introduced a lot.
Never saw him, and he wrote me the ballest card thanking me you ever saw.
Did you have the letter that some Kimmy wrote?
That half-brother of mine wrote.
Kimmy's Boonling for man.
Yeah. Now, that was a masterpiece there. Yeah, I had to get the big book to understand it.
The big book Smoot's talking about is a history of Anderson Valley with a glossary of Boonling words. It was written in the 70s by a Chico State professor named Charles C. Adams.
But there's no recorded history of Boonling, how it started and why. Which is funny, because the language is an oral history of Boonville. There are 1,500 words, and every one of them tells a story.
Well, the most common word used in the whole language is ball. And the word is originated from the ball brand shoe. Years ago, there was what they called a ball brand shoe, and it was B-A-L-L. And on the instep, on the sole, right in front of the heel, there's a little red ball on the shoe. And that, at that time, was the best shoe money could buy. You couldn't buy a better shoe than that. So the language adopted ball as a good. Anything is ball is good. That's the best there is.
Since we were standing on the soil of Bootling's birthplace, we decided to tour the town, get our mics dirty, and try to find out more about the origin from different locals.
Back when we came into Boonville, we saw this sign for a barn sale, tucked back from the road we were exploring. So we follow it up this kind of spooky driveway, and all of a sudden we see this Americana scene with used couches and bed frames out on the yard, and a shack with a sign on the roof that says, Jailhouse Rocks.
And then we go inside the big red barn, and there's this husband and wife running the register for their church, nestled between stacks of chairs and porcelain dolls and wicker baskets up to the ceiling, and a few patrons.
My name is Bryce, and I live in Boonville now, but I'm originally from Minnesota. I've heard a couple words here and there, but I don't hear it spoken very often.
Do you have any idea where it came from, what the origin is?
Yeah, I heard that the women who used to occupy this valley doing work out in the field it was kind of their secret language.
After the barn sale, we duck into the Anderson Valley Historical Society, which is actually the place where children used to learn bootling. It was later moved across the street when a newer elementary school was built.
This one wooden building taught all the K-12 students in Boonville, and everyone still calls it the Little Red Schoolhouse. Now it's stuffed to the rafters with donated furniture, personal items, and farm equipment. Volunteer docent Robert Nimmons shows us around.
We've heard several stories that the adults developed it so they could talk, that the kids didn't know what they were saying. The kids developed it so they could talk, so the adults didn't know what they were saying.
Next, we hit up the Evergreen Cemetery nearby,
which doesn't actually have any living people.
But it proves to us that bootling's been around for a long time. There are phrases etched onto the graves, like the one for James Bruce Dean.
But a wee slib in the Ike harps for this plenty ball Kimmy to be slow lopin' in the Skype region.
So with no one to interview here, we decide to go somewhere more populated, the Anderson Valley Brewing Company.
The bar is in a barn with one huge room and super high ceilings, so voices carry. When we ask around about where bootling came from, this is what people say.
Honestly, I have no idea. I know the dialect has a lot to do with sex, drinking, and drugs. That's about all I know.
And as we quickly learn, a lot of the bootling words or phrases are used so locals can talk about more taboo subjects. Everything from alcoholics to pyromaniacs to, of course, sex.
Yeah.
Do you know any words?
Yeah, burlapping is f***.
There's a saying here, the home of the ballest burlapping Steinberg known to Kimmy is home of the best f***ing beer known to man. So, I mean, our engineer here, he speaks it fluently. Just kind of book learned it and like talking with Wes.
So the only person at the brewery who can speak bootling learned it from talking to Wes Smoot. We've got to talk to him to get the real origin story. I can tell that
we are gonna be friends. Smoot lives in a small blue house with a white picket fence on the outskirts of town with his girlfriend, Marion Crosby.
I was born and raised here in the valley. And my ancestors were one of the first settlers of the valley.
Coincidentally, Crosby grew up in this house, which Smoot used to share with his late wife. That's how small Boonville is. Smoot was born and raised in Anderson Valley, when he says it felt more like a close-knit family than what it is today.
And I've always said that in order to speak the language and understand the language and understand the people, you've got to know something about the history of the valley.
Since the valley was an isolated farming community during that time, there weren't a lot of newcomers, but it was one who came to town, he says, that brought about what we now know as the language of bootling.
The girl in San Francisco who got pregnant when she was without clergy, she wasn't married.
She wasn't married, he says, and that was a problem because her family were high society people.
And they didn't want to go through the embarrassment of having a pregnant daughter in their society down there until after she had the baby.
So they sent her to Anderson Valley to have the baby.
In the hop fields, the women wanted to talk about this girl being pregnant and going to have this baby, but they didn't want to embarrass her talking right in front of her.
And they started inventing words, which caught on with the husbands.
The husband thought, well, that's a real good idea. So they went to the sheep shearing camps the next day, started using some of the words, and it just blossomed out from there.
Wes Smoot seen the valley go from a rancher's paradise to a logging boom town.
Everything in this valley, clear back from the time it was first founded in about 1850, it went in cycles. First there was prune orchards and apple orchards. and then grapes. And now I notice there's getting to be a lot of olives. So someday the vineyards is going to fold up and move out, and the olives are going to take over. And it's just a cycle that keeps turning over every maybe 50, 75 years. But sooner or later, the grapes are going to come to an end. That's why I'm not going to plant no grapes.
Smoot left the valley to serve in the Korean War for a couple of years and then worked for Caltrans, which brought him all over the state. When he returned to Anderson Valley, it seemed unfamiliar. Things had changed.
Because at one time, I knew everybody in the valley and how many dogs and cats they had and everything, you know. And then you come back a total stranger, and been a stranger ever since.
He tells us that people may say hello to him in town, but he doesn't have the slightest idea who they are.
Wine and tourism are bringing more people through Boonville than ever before. And Smoot thinks that small-town feeling has gone away. Like the shifting economies and younger generations that seem to cycle through the valley, bootling, he says, is disappearing.
And that's the trouble we're running into now with a lot of the outside people coming in here. They come in here with big money, big vineyards and wine tasting rooms and wineries and whatnot. And, oh boy, we're going to make bootling out of this, you know. Well, it just don't work. They just don't take the time and the effort to really learn the language.
But Wes Smoot does. In fact, at the age of 81, he's still inventing bootling words.
And now, another fellow and I, we've kind of come up with a new word now. In your wildlife, the salmon, when the salmon go up the stream and spawns, they do every 4 years, you know, they spawn. Once they spawn, they die, you know, and they go back downstream. They're dead. They're going downstream. Well, when you get our age, we're downstreamers. We're getting ready to go back downstream now. Like the old salmon said, we're downstreamers now.
Maybe. But if you pop in the Boonville Drive-In around 4 o'clock, you would never know it.
The coffee's still hot and the conversation's still ball. In Boonville, I'm Christina Loring.
And I'm Liz Pfeffer for Cross Currents.